Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Amen. You may be seated. Can we thank our worship team for leading us this morning? Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you guys. Well, good morning again. Thank you guys so much for being here. Y'all look good today. I like this. If this is one of your first times with us, this is normal, all right? We really like Christmas around here. It's not odd. But no, we just want to say thank you guys so much for being here. We would definitely love to connect with you. We're in the middle of a series called Unwrapping Joy, and we do you know, we've been talking about this for those of you who've been here for a while. At the end of the service today, we'll be giving prizes for the best dressed, and we have some fun categories. I love this season, and again, as we're getting going here, I just felt like, man, we're so bombarded with negativity and news and bad news and just gloom and doom that we need to have some fun. We need to have some joy back into this season, and what better way to get it than Jesus? And so I was thinking the other day, when all my girls are teenagers now, when they were young, I to love telling some dad jokes because they would laugh. And even if they weren't good, my kids would laugh. Now I just get eye rolls, okay? And so I came up with some of my best dad jokes because I need some positive reinforcement in my life. So I need you to laugh, all right? So what do reindeer say before telling you a joke? This one's gonna slay you. How does Santa keep track of all the fireplaces he visits? He keeps a log. You like that? What do you call an elf who sings? A rapper. Let me invite you to Christmas Eve at City Hope Church. You're going to hear more of that. No, I'm kidding. I do want to invite each and every one of you. A few weeks ago, we were able to purchase 400 chairs for our new location over at the Boys and Girls Club. And my heart, my goal, I don't know why, I'm not a numbers guy, and this has nothing to do with numbers. This is about the people that sit in those seats. I want to fill every one of those seats this year on Christmas Eve. And so let me encourage you to invite someone. We have some invite cards to make it really easy. Just go put it in your neighbor's mailbox, all right? Maybe that might be illegal. I don't know, but invite somebody, one service, 5 p.m. You know, we've never been able to do one service together on Christmas Eve. We usually have three back-to-back-to-back or you know, different days. And so I'm excited. One service, 5 p.m. Christmas Eve over at the Boys and Girls Club of Bluffton. So today we're in week two of our series called Unwrapping Joy. And so last week we talked about how the promises of God can unwrap joy in our life. You can have joy even before the promise is fulfilled. The promise itself is the thing that can give you joy. Well, this week we're going to talk about how God's presence unwraps joy. And I hope already that's some good news for some of you today. Because some of us have walked in here stressed. You've walked in here kind of feeling, man, I'm just so stretched out. I'm tired. I'm behind on my Christmas shopping. I'm already over the Christmas season. Sometimes we just need a good reminder that joy isn't wrapped in a box. It's in a person. It's in a person named Jesus. So go ahead, if you have your Bible, go to Luke chapter 1. We'll be bouncing around between Luke 1 and 2 today. But everywhere Jesus shows up, joy begins to break out. And scripture gives us this repeated theme all throughout Luke chapter 1 and chapter number 2. But I want to kind of start today with just an understanding of what joy is and what joy isn't. Joy isn't something you chase. Joy is something you receive when you step into the presence of Jesus. And that's kind of going to be the premise that we base everything off of today. And I want to look at these three specific moments surrounding the birth of Jesus. I love the because you can read something that you know, that you've memorized, that you've read 100 times, and then the next time you read it, God can show you something new. And I want to show you these three specific moments that surround the birth of Jesus that shows us how these different people at different seasons of their life have joy.
So let me give you a little bit of context here, what's going on. A little reminder from last week. Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, have been praying for a child. And they had just found out after years of praying, years of waiting, that Elizabeth was finally pregnant. The Bible says she was up in age. She was old. They were filled with joy now, Elizabeth and Zechariah, because God's promises were coming true. They were seeing it. At the same time that this was going on, Mary, Jesus's mother, has just been told the good news. The angel Gabriel came to her and said, hey, you are going to be carrying Jesus. And so at first, like obviously all of us would be, she was scared, right? She was like, wait, what? What? Me carry Jesus? This is weird. How can this happen? And so she was scared, but she was obedient. And I think that's very, very important that I want you to keep on your mind today. She was scared. She didn't know the outcome, but she stayed obedient. So now, after she finds out this good news, she's going to visit her friend and relative, Elizabeth. And that's where we're going to pick up today. So let me ask you to stand to your feet and honor the reading of God's word together. Reading in chapter 1, verse 39, just a few verses this morning. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside of her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed out loud with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Look at verse 44. "For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside of me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what has spoken to her." Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Use it today. Speak to our hearts. Reign your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. So Mary walks into Elizabeth's house, and she's carrying baby Jesus, all right? So just go there with me. She's literally carrying the presence of God inside of her. And Luke says when she walked in and she greeted Elizabeth, the Bible says that the baby, Elizabeth's baby, leaped inside of her womb. Now, if you do a little word study here, and I love doing this because the Bible is just so full of different understandings and texts. When you go back to the original language in the Greek, the word leaped here is skirtao, skirtao. And what it means is that it was exult wildly with joy. It's not this little wiggle that the baby did inside of her, that the Bible specifically says it was this exult wildly with joy. In other words, John the Baptist, that's who Elizabeth's baby is going like full on Pentecostal praise break right here, right? He is full of joy. He's not even born yet. And if you really start thinking about that, how in the world can that happen? Why does that happen? Well, because the unborn even recognize the power of Jesus. The unborn even recognize the presence of Jesus. Now, let's bring that back into our lives today, all right? That's the same presence that you and I get to have in this room today. That's the same powerful God. His greatness is available for you when nobody else is around, when you're all by yourself, just you alone in your thoughts. The same Jesus that made a baby inside of another woman's womb jump and leap for joy is the same Jesus that you and I get to serve today. And that's the greatness that's available to us. Now, here's something that really stood out. I want you to watch this today, all right? So Mary, she was scared. She just got this crazy news. She didn't really know what was going on. But because Mary surrendered her will, all right, go back to verse 38. Look at verse 38. This is what Mary says. "See, I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." In other words, "Here I am, Lord, use me. I'm scared. I don't know the outcome. I don't know what's going to happen, but here I am. I'll be obedient." Because Mary surrendered her will and obeyed to God, look what happens. Other people got to experience joy. Think about that. Mary obeyed. She didn't understand. She didn't have all the answers. She didn't know how this was going to work, but she said yes to God. And that simple yes, look at this, carried God's presence to other people in her life. When Mary obeyed, watch, Elizabeth experienced joy. When Mary obeyed, John the Baptist experienced joy. When Mary obeyed, the Holy Spirit filled the room. Here's the truth of this situation. Joy didn't start at Elizabeth's house. Joy started in Mary's obedience. And church, understand this. Obedience matters. And I want you to not just see obedience matters. Add the word "I" in front of that. My obedience matters. Sometimes joy is waiting on the other side of your obedience. You're looking for joy in your life, and everywhere you look, you can't find it. Sometimes joy is waiting on the other side of your obedience. Sometimes breakthrough for someone else is tied to your yes. Sometimes God places joy on the horizon, and you can see it, and it's there, but it's your obedience that brings it close. Your yes to God may be the very thing that carries the presence of Jesus into someone else's life. Think about that. Parents, that's one that we really, that's kind of a heavy one, right? My yes to God may be the thing that brings joy into my children's life. My obedience to God may be the thing that brings my parents, brings my friends, the rest of my family. My obedience may be the thing that carries God's presence into someone else's life. When Mary stepped into Elizabeth's doorway, she wasn't just visiting a relative. She was delivering joy. She was delivering the presence of God. And because she obeyed, joy showed up in their lives. So if you keep reading there, after we see where Mary first visited Elizabeth, then there's a little portion here of Mary's song. Mary begins to just praise God. She's just giving God all kinds of praise. Well, the next part of the story is when it's time for Elizabeth and Zechariah to have their baby. All right, Zechariah has been made mute by God, but now he has some things to say. All right, and this is a prophecy, the Bible says. This was a prophecy that Zach was now speaking to God's followers on God's behalf. All right, so think about that. Zechariah and Elizabeth, baby. Zechariah didn't believe, totally understand what was going on, so they made him mute. He wasn't allowed to speak. Now it's time for the baby to be born, and now he's able to speak, and he is prophesying on behalf of God. So he's speaking on behalf of God to God's followers. So he opens his mouth, and I think what he says here kind of reframes the whole Christmas story. Watch this, and look at verse 73. This is just a portion of what Zechariah said. Zechariah says this, "He, God, has given us the privilege, since we have been rescued from the hand of our enemies, to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, in his presence all our days." Now, if you're a highlighter, underliner, circler, whatever, underline that little phrase at the beginning. He has given us the privilege. He has given us the privilege. God has given his children the privilege of serving him. God has given us, his children, the privilege of serving him in his presence. In other words, let's break it down to maybe where we can understand it a little bit better today. God's presence is a privilege. God's presence is a privilege to stand before him, to live before him, to walk in a relationship with him, to serve him without any fear is a privilege in our lives. And Zechariah is saying, hey, we don't deserve this. We could never earn this, but God has given us access to himself. And that access is God's presence. That access is that when we're in God's presence, that's where joy lives. Think about the perspective change. Think about the mindset change that we would have to have today. That I have the privilege of serving the Lord. So many people that have been a Christian for such a long time, they use the term burned out, or we use the term, well, I'm just tired, or I did that before, and so I'm going to take a break. And here's Zechariah going, wait a minute. God gives us the privilege of serving him. It's not something I have to do. It's not something that everybody's making me do. The way that I have joy is by getting into the presence of God by serving him, and it is a privilege. We talked about this last week. Joy doesn't come from getting everything I want. Joy comes from being able to stand before the God who wants me. I don't get joy because everything on my Christmas list was fulfilled and I get to unwrap all my presents. I get joy because I have the privilege of standing before an almighty God. And if you go back and you really do kind of a study on this, it's really remarkable because in these times when Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, access to God was very guarded. It was very limited. You had to go to a certain place at a certain time, face in a certain way, with a certain amount of people, right? But here's Zechariah, and he's claiming that because of Jesus' presence, God is now near. So think about that. I had to go to a temple. There was a veil in between. I couldn't go behind the veil. In order for me to access God's presence, I had to do all of these things. And now Zechariah is saying, now we get the privilege because baby Jesus is being born and God is here. He's right here for us. We have access. Think about this. I was thinking about different times in my life where I had access. Anybody, you ever been to like a concert and you got like the VIP treatment? You got to go backstage or something like that? A few years ago, I got to attend the basketball Final Four. My team, Louisville, was in it multiple years in a row. But I got to go to New Orleans. We were down in New Orleans, and I got invited and went to the game. And we were like, man, we're in New Orleans. Let's go check out Baton Rouge. Let's go check out LSU, right? And I'm not an LSU fan, but we were close. So I was like, hey, let's go look at it. And growing up, one of my basketball coaches, well, really both, all of them, they were the kind of guys that if we went to a new place, they would go around and try to find a door open and go in. Like, they kind of taught me how to break in people's houses and people's stuff. But if we would go game, if we would go, so me and this group of guys, and we were friends, but we weren't like super tight. We show up on LSU's campus and we're driving around, and, you know, it's beautiful, it's awesome, and we're driving around the football field, the Valley, not Clemson Death Valley, it's LSU Death Valley, and we're driving around, and just out of my eye, I see a gate open, right? And so I'm like, let's just park and walk around. And so you guys know where I'm going. They park and they're just like walking this way, and I kind of mosey on over here by myself, and I go in the gate to go into the stadium. And so I come around where they are, and I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? And I'm on the other side of the fence, and they're like, what is going on? I'm like, hey, y'all come down here. No big deal. I got y'all. I got y'all. So I sneak them in this gate. We walk down on the field, and here's us in the middle of Death Valley, LSU's football stadium, 100,000 people, something like that, and we're the only ones in there. And we're just like, oh, this is awesome. And they're like, how did you do that? What did you do? And I was like, man, no big deal. You just walk around like you know what you're doing. Nobody's going to say anything, right? And to this day, they tell that story because they had access. They felt like VIPs. They felt privileged to be down there on the field. Now, that's just a silly story, right? That's just something serious. But having access makes us feel privileged. Having access makes us feel privileged. But nothing in this world can compare to the privilege of having access to God himself. When you and I understand that it is a privilege, it's not a burden, it's not something I just have to do every day that's going to make me a better person. I have access to an almighty God, and I feel privileged to have that. And that's what Zechariah is saying. Zechariah is saying, hey, it is a privilege for us to be able to serve God and be in his presence. and God's presence, and in turn, joy. Listen to this. God's presence and in turn joy is not something that you are owed. Think about that for a second. I've been through so much and I'm going through really hard times. But when we look at it as a privilege and not something that I'm owed, it changes our perspective. And maybe, just maybe, that's how God is wanting you to get some joy in your life, that you have a changed perspective, that the presence of God is the greatest privilege of my life. And that's how joy is going to enter my world. That's how God's presence is going to be able to come into my life when I change my perspective. I change my thinking into saying, you know what? It's not a burden. It's not a have to. It's a privilege for me to get to get up early and spend time with Jesus and be in his presence. So let's finish this out today. There's a baby John the Baptist is born. There's a lot of joy, a lot of rejoicing, and now it's time for Jesus to be born. Luke chapter 2. Mary and Joseph, you guys know the story. They travel to Bethlehem. They're looking for a room. They can't find a room, right? So they end up in a barn with baby Jesus, and baby Jesus is born. But I want you to see what happens next in Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 8 here. Jesus has just been born. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock. Angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to people he favors." Look at verse 15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds say to one another, now it's just the shepherds here by themselves, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it, look at this, were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary was still treasuring up all these things in her heart, meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. See, the Christmas story here, it goes from Jesus being born in a barn, being laid in a manger, and it takes this kind of turn into shepherds. Now, a little study into shepherds. They're out here on the night shift. They're the underpaid, underappreciated, out there smelling like sheep, right? They're definitely not invited to anybody's Christmas party. These are the last people that you would think who would announce the birth of Jesus to the world. Right? These are the guys. Think about it like this. You know, I don't know if you ever did this. Sharon and I did this when we were younger and we didn't have any kids. We would just be awake at 2 o'clock in the morning and we go to Walmart for no reason. Let's just go do something, right? And there's always people there at 2 a.m. stocking shelves, right? They're doing stuff and neatening and stuff up. And if you go in at 10 a.m., you never see the 2 a.m. shelf stockers, right? Nobody appreciates them. Nobody ever sees them. But without them, nothing gets on the shelf, right? And so think about the shepherds. That these are those guys. These are the 2 a.m. at Walmart guys. Nobody sees. Nobody's inviting them. Nobody wants to be around them. And that's who Jesus, that's who God uses to express to the world, "Hey, the Savior of the world's been born." I mean, you think about that. That brings me hope. Because that's the kind of people that God loves. That's the kind of people, that is a beautiful reminder that that's the kind of people that God wants to use. The overlooked. Those of us who don't feel good enough. Those of us who don't feel worthy. Those of us who have a checkered past. Those of us who aren't going to get picked first when it comes to anything about the Bible or Christianity or church. That's who God uses. And so Jesus's presence, think about this. Jesus' presence turns outsiders, shepherds, into worshipers. These outsiders who were just smelling like sheep, His presence fell over these men who felt small, and now they were overwhelmed with joy, the Bible says. They were overwhelmed with joy. Why? Not because they got their life all together and now they took a bath and they smell better and they're dressing better. They all have joy. Why? Because the presence of God and nothing else. And church, understand this Christmas season. Where Jesus is, joy is. Where Jesus is, joy is. You don't have to manufacture joy. You don't have to pretend you have joy. You don't have to wait for your circumstances to improve to have joy. You just have to get into God's presence. So think about this today. The presence of baby Jesus, it brought joy to another baby in a womb. It brought joy to the unborn. The presence of baby Jesus, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Joseph, Mary, all of those experiencing the presence of joy, it brought joy, real deep. The presence of Jesus brought joy to the outsiders, the shepherds. If you're looking for joy this Christmas, if you're trying to find joy in something, get into the presence of God. And I want to ask you a couple of questions today as we end. And I want to just take a moment and walk through these. And I want you to just, maybe one of them will hit you, maybe all of them. But I want you to really think about this and be listening for the Lord to speak directly to your heart. If you're missing joy this season, what if you engaged your faith like never before this Christmas? What would that look like for you? If you just jumped all in, you engaged your faith like never, ever before in your life, what would happen? What if you did what Mary did and you began to believe the impossible? Mary's like, what? Me? Okay, I'm in. What if you did what Mary did and believed the impossible this Christmas? What if you did what Joseph did and you prioritized what you know truly matters? What truly matters in my life? And you just took it and you said, you know what, I'm going to prioritize that. What if you did what the shepherds did and you ran toward the presence of Jesus instead of away from it? The shepherds ran towards the presence. Oh, Jesus is here, I'm going. I want to see. I want to be a part of that. To you and I, he says, no, 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 you're not worthy. You need to go this way. You need to stay away from all that. That's for those good people. What if this Christmas you did what the shepherds did and ran towards the presence of Jesus instead of away from it? What if you slowed down long enough to recognize that the same Jesus who brought joy to a womb, to a barn, to a field, wants to bring joy to you? What if you slowed down and realized the same Jesus that brought joy to a womb, joy to a barn, joy to a bunch of dudes out in the field who smelled like sheep? What if you just slowed down and recognized that that's the same God who wants to bring joy to you in your life? What changes, listen church, what changes if you sought the presence of God every single day of your life? What changes? What would that look like? Can I just tell you what that would look like? It would look like joy. It would look like real joy, deep joy, unshakable joy. Joy that comes from the presence of God and nothing else. Not my actions, not my good works, not me serving at church, not me reading my Bible. Joy that comes from the presence of God. And let me tell you this, we all do this, right? We all want, hey, tell me what you want for Christmas. Give me your list. Or we tell somebody else. Somebody asks us, hey, what do you want? And we give it. There is nothing that we need more this Christmas that is more important than the presence of God. Every single Sunday that we meet in here, I beg God, I ask the Lord, reign your presence in this place.
Lord, we need you because without you, we're nothing. Without you, it's just our vain efforts. Church, the Christmas story isn't old news. It's good news. And when Jesus was born, the very presence of God came to earth, bringing joy specifically for me and for you. And so let's get into the presence of God. If you're missing joy this Christmas, if you're looking for joy this Christmas, start with the presence of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you, and I'm so grateful for your joy. I'm grateful that we can come into your house and laugh. I'm grateful that we can come into this place and just know no matter what we're walking through, there's example after example after example in your word that we can follow. And Lord, nobody else is sitting in our shoes. Nobody else is in our seat. Nobody else is walking our footsteps. But God, your presence is there no matter what. No matter if we're seeking you and following you and chasing after you, or Lord, if the enemy's winning in our lives and we're going the other way. And Lord, I pray that today your mighty presence would reign in our hearts and in our lives as we walk out of this room here in just a few moments, as we go about our lives this week. I pray that we would sense, that we would know, that we would do all we can to get in your presence, because that's where we're gonna find joy. Lord, thank you for stories that like Zechariah saying, it is a privilege to serve the Lord. Lord, may that never become a burden. May the Christmas story never be old news, but always be good news. That you, Jesus, brought the presence of God into our lives and into this world. And may we seek it, may we find it, may we live in it, may we share it. I pray that somebody in this room today, God, that would realize that their obedience would change the joy in their home. Their obedience, their saying yes to you, even though they don't understand, even though there's still questions, just like Mary, that our obedience would bring joy to our children, to our spouse, to our loved ones, to our workplace, to our school, to our team. Our obedience matters. Help us to never lose sight of that, Jesus. And God, today, we just humbly say thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that we can have joy even in the midst of struggling. We love you. We give you honor and glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.